I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
And ladies and gentlemen, today is day two of our Thanksgiving convention. Amen. Amen. It is good to give thanks unto God. Amen. Amen. And most importantly, we have today in our midst our apostle, our father in North America, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, and a father who has come to be with us. He's longed to be with you. And he has come today to visit. Amen. Amen. So I want you to open your heart, open your soul, open your spirit, your understanding and everything to receive from the chosen vessel of God. As our bishop will say, the prophecy you believe in is the prophecy you will receive. So even as he comes here, just open up. Just forget about the moment, forget about the time. This is a special moment in his presence, in the presence of God. Amen. And I believe that you will live here blessed. Apostle has been a blessing to us for over 20 years. And he's a blessing to our children and maybe our grandchildren. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So with a clap offering unto the Lord and a shout unto the Lord, we welcome the Apostle.
Oh, happy day. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was,
he washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Let us say a word of prayer before you sit down. Father, we thank you again for tonight. And thank you for the blessedness of the opportunity to share with your people about our precious salvation. Thank you for your blessing. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, please. Okay. Right. Now, it is good to see you again tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I thank God for all of your lives. And I believe that God has blessed you with very good pastors. Amen.
Amen.
Reverend Francis and Lady Pastor Caroline. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that they have been here with you, feeding you and preaching to you. You know, apart from everything else they have to do, a lot of work at different hospitals and so on. Amen. And I want to say that you people here must be grateful, amen,
amen,
and be thankful to God
for such sacrificial people that he has given to bless you and to serve and minister to you. Amen. So be a blessing to them. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that they will be an even greater blessing to you. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to continue from where I left off yesterday. Amen. And in this meeting, I've been sharing with you about our precious salvation. Amen. That salvation is precious. Amen. Tell your neighbor, salvation is precious. Tell the person, salvation is precious. Amen. Salvation, your salvation is the most precious thing you have. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Hallelujah. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Right? Think about it. Think about what he's saying. He said that you don't make profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul. Do you understand? You lose your soul in order to gain the whole world. Do you know what profit is? Profit is a business word, right? It is a word that is used to describe how income relates with expenses or costs. Do you understand? In other words, if you're doing a business or running a business, you're going to have costs. You have a cost, like the cost of where you do your business, the rent of the place, the energy in the place. You're going to have bills and so on. Maybe a car or a van or something like that. Then you're going to have the cost of the things you actually sell, isn't it? If it's a business that sells something, or even if it's a business that offers a service, it has a value. Do you understand? So you take what it costs you to provide that service, or what it costs you to provide whatever you're selling, and then you subtract it from what you get from selling it. Do you understand? And the difference is what? Your profit. Do you understand? Which can be positive or negative. Do you understand? If it costs you more to acquire those things than what you get from selling them, then your profit is negative. Isn't it? But if, on the other hand, if you have more income from selling it than what it costs you to get it, then that is positive, isn't it? And then you say that you have profit. Hallelujah. So you understand how it works, isn't it? Right? Now, most businesses, or every business, is trying to make profit. Every business is trying to make sure that after they have subtracted their cost from their income or revenue, what remains is positive, and not just positive as in $1 or $2, but largely and significantly positive. Are you getting it? That's what everybody does. Do you see? And when you're running a business and that margin begins to dwindle and it goes down and down and down, that's when people fold up and they shut, because at a point they realize it's not worth it. Hallelujah. So Jesus was teaching us a little business. And he said that here, the profit is zero. Zero. There is no profit If a man is to gain the whole world, that means you put the whole world on one side and then you put your soul on the other side. And you have to lose your soul in order to gain the whole world. He said, if you had to give up, if what it cost you to gain the whole world is your soul that is lost, then you made a loss. Are you getting it? Means there is no profit. It means it was not worth it. Wow. And he says the whole world. The whole world. Now the whole world is a big place. Isn't it? Yeah. If we were not even to think about the whole world. And just to think of the strip right here. Do you understand? Yes. If your soul is more valuable than the strip, just the strip here. Don't think about the whole world. Just think about the strip. If your soul was more valuable than anything on the strip, your soul would be very valuable. What do you think? Yeah. And Jesus is saying that we're not even comparing it with the strip. Any of the hotels or the big buildings, the casinos and so on the strip, that's not even the comparison. He said, add everything in Las Vegas to everything in Nevada, to everything in Los Angeles, and add that to everything in California, and then sweep across the country and add it to everything in New York, and that will still give you only one country in the world. Do you understand? Only one country in the world, and that's still no good comparison. Do you understand? Yeah. So we have to go out of America and go to the other continents and go to other places, the oceans, the countries, the stock markets, and all these things. And Jesus said, put them all together and leave your soul only, one soul, standing. And he says, your soul is still more valuable. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Yes, your soul is still more valuable. So if your soul is that precious, if your soul is that precious, because you know, if there was only you to save, only you, Jesus would still have had to die. Do you understand? Because the soul is such that the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Do you understand? So your soul is so precious. It's so precious. And if your soul is that precious, then the process by which the soul is saved, which is your salvation, must be the most precious thing on earth to anyone. Are you following what I'm saying? If the soul is most precious, then the salvation of that soul and the process by which that soul is redeemed must be the most precious thing. I mean, that means your salvation must be at least as valuable as your soul. Do you understand? Yes. You know, the amount of money that you use to buy something, do you see, if it can buy it, then the money is the same value as what it bought. Yeah. Does it make sense? Yes. Yeah? See, this camera here. I'm spoiling your thing, right? Right? This camera here has a value. Do you understand? So let's just say that this camera here is worth $200. That means if I can give $200 to him and he will be content enough to release the camera to me, then the camera and $200 are the same in value. Does it make sense? Yeah? Right. So then if your soul is more precious, more valuable than everything in the world put together. Do you understand? If everything in the world put together will not buy your soul, then it means your soul is more precious than that. Isn't it? Then it means your salvation, the salvation which is the redemption of the soul. The price, salvation, is the process by which we buy the soul. Does it make sense? Yes. Then it means your, if your salvation is what redeems your soul, then your salvation must be as precious as the soul it redeemed. Do you understand? And that will mean that your salvation is more precious than the whole world. Hallelujah. That to be saved is more precious than the whole world. So you might as well just say, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his salvation? Do you understand? That is why it does not make sense for people to stop going to church. Do you understand? Or stop serving the Lord, or stop nourishing the soul, you know, for the sake of going to do anything else. I see a lot of people who easily give up anything that helps their salvation, anything that strengthens their salvation, strengthens their faith. They easily give up things like, you know, Bible study, regular church attendance, attending even a meeting like this one. I mean, many people feel that it's more valuable maybe to go to work tonight or find some money somewhere or even sleep at home or something like that. It must be more valuable than being in church. But that is because you do not understand the value of your salvation. You don't understand it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. It is because you don't understand it. Because if you understand it, you will come to see that your salvation is the most precious thing. It's the thing you shouldn't joke with. It's the thing you should not play with. It's the thing you should value the most. You must guard your salvation the most. The most. It's the most precious thing that you have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One of the reasons why people underestimate the value of their salvation, you know, is because salvation appears to be free. Do you understand? When people get things for free, they have a habit of discounting their value. Do you understand? Yeah. That is the reason why sometimes people even sell things. They sell even useless things. They sell them because people seem to believe that if you pay a price, then it must be precious. Do you understand? So there are lots of people who teach all kinds of things. They even tell people, you know, for you to be saved, you have to walk on a bed of nails. Do you understand? Because you can't help it. You want the person to believe, and he doesn't seem to believe that you can just receive Jesus Christ in a simple prayer and be saved. So he said, let's give him something that will be very painful for him. Then he can really feel safe. So you walk on this bed of nails, and you're bleeding under your feet, and you can't walk. When you get off them, you kind of feel, yeah, you are saved. You kind of feel that for the pain that you have gone through, you are saved. Do you understand? I don't blame you, because that's the way it is. When you pay a high price to obtain something, you tend to value that thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the problem with believing or thinking that your salvation is free is that you are wrong. Your salvation is not free. It came to you free, but somebody else paid for it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. That is one of the reasons why you see parents, you know, scolding children all the time, you know, sometimes yelling and shouting at children because of the way they treat the things they have bought for them. Do you understand? Now, the children, they treat the things that way because they got them for free. Do you understand? It's free. You get it? You give a child a bottle of milk, and she takes the bottle, and she starts to shake it like that. You get it? Because it's free. It just came from you. It's free. Do you understand? But you don't think so. That's why it upsets you. It upsets the parent because the parent knows that what the child is thinking is not what it really is. Do you understand? Yeah. It's free to you, but it's not free to the one who procured it. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you want to know the real price of your salvation or the real value of your salvation, you need to look at what it costs. Do you understand? You need to look at what it costs. That is why John 3:16 is one of the most precious verses in the Bible. It's one of the most important verses for all Christians in the Bible. Do you understand? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Can you see that? It says, "God so loved the world." God so loved the world. God loved the world so much. Do you understand? Now, once you start reading it that way, you have to pause and get ready for what is coming. Do you understand? Because everything that follows there must mean a lot, because it is all explaining what he did because he so loved the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right? So if you don't know what your salvation is worth, just check what price was paid for it. Do you understand? He said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Something so precious that it cost someone's only begotten son. Do you understand? Yeah. It cost someone's only begotten son. Now, who is this little baby? Right? This is who? Annalisa. Oh, okay. Sylvia's Annalisa. I met her yesterday. Can I borrow that baby, please? Yes. Who's going to bring that baby? All right. The mother should come with the baby. Right? Annalisa, hi. Hi. Preach.
You don't preach?
She's shy.
You are shy. Okay. You're smiling. This is like a kind of naughty smile. It's like, I really like to take it, but I don't want to. Right. Now, do you love these people here? Are you sure? Think again, oh, because I'm about to ask you for a favor. I said, look at the people. Look at the people here. Look at the people. Do you love them? You think so? Right? You think you love them?
I think so.
Take one last look. Look at them again. Do you love them? Look, somebody was waving at you over there. You think you love them?
I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, all of you here, is there any of you who has any needs? Just any need at all? You have some needs? You have some need? You need a what? You need a car. She needs a car. Who else needs a car? Who else could use a car? All right. It looks like most people, the commonest need here is a car. Receive cars in Jesus' name.
I receive it. Amen. I receive it.
Every need for cars in this church is met in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has promised to supply all your needs. So receive it in the name of Jesus. So now, Sylvia, these people, majority of them, say that they have a need for a car. And you say you love them. Right. So if I asked you, you know, can we just break the little finger of your little child? This one right here. If we can just break this now, huh? We'll break it and all these people will have cars. Will you do it? I thought you said you loved them. Look at them again.
You can use maybe one of your fingers.
Is the microphone on? She's saying some interesting things here.
Amen.
Yeah. Sylvia, you say you love all these people. All we are asking is that we want to break, not the thumb, not this one, but the finger, the one that looks like is the least important, the smallest one. This pinky right here, yes. I just want to break it. Can I just twist it and break
no,
it?
No, thank you.
No?
No, thank you.
If I did that, they will all have cars.
Mm-mm. We can use any of their fingers. That's
we should use their fingers.
Yes.
I say, look at somebody who says she loves you. Tonight, I'm showing you fake love. It. She says she loves you, but her love doesn't go far at all. At all. At all. So when you read the verse that says God so loved, you can see that there is a big distance between God's love and the love that she claims she has for you tonight. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not only her. You who is saying yes, you are also like that. She said that we should break your own finger so that the rest of the people can have cars, but not her baby. Now, this is not your only child, is it?
No.
This is your second one.
That's my only girl.
It's your only girl.
Yes.
But at least you have a spare. Where is Jason? Jason is somewhere at the back. Yeah. You have a spare. Look. You see? All right. Since it's your only daughter, we're going to go for Jason's.
Hey.
Hello, Jason. Yeah.
Hi.
Jason, we're looking for a finger, a pinky, just to break. So all these people will have cars. Will you allow? No? You don't understand why.
Why
their car problem is your problem?
I don't get it.
She doesn't understand. What has your need for a car have to do with her? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have a car, that's your problem. That's your problem. Do you understand? So when you hear that God did not sit in heaven, you know, and say, that's your problem. Do you understand? He didn't say, that's your problem. You are the one who has sinned. And God didn't say, that's your problem. But rather, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, look at that verse very carefully. If the Bible had said, God so loved the world. She has intentionally sent him away. So she thinks we don't know the tricks. Are you listening to me? Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Listen, if the verse had said, God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. Can you see that? Without adding only. I think it would still send a message. The message, because it would appear that the most important thing is that God gave up his child. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, God wants you to hear more than that. Because God didn't just give his son. When someone gives you something, and that same person gives you the only one of something that he has. How many know that it makes a difference? That if I was to remove my pair of shoes tonight, it's really cold outside, oh. And if I was to give you these pair of shoes, or this pair of shoes, and walk home so you can have shoes to wear. It's not the same as if I say to you, follow me to my house. And then I enter my house and I pull out one of my shoes and give them to you. It's not the same. How many agree it's not the same? It's not the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So if you want to know how precious your salvation is, don't judge it by what you paid for it. Because for you, you paid nothing. It's free. But judge it by what God paid for it. And if you judge your salvation by what God paid for it, you begin to realize that your salvation is very, very expensive. Very expensive. And it's very precious. Do you understand? Look at somebody who has two children. Then we are asking for one. Not even the whole child, just the small pinky on. We are not even going to, you know, we just want to break this small one. And she wouldn't let us do that. Do you understand? And not only her, all of you will not do it. If you think I'm wrong, ask your neighbor, can I break your pinky right now? Just ask them. They won't do it. They won't do it. But if you ask them, they'll all claim that they love you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So our love, you see, is either fake. it's either it's fake or it's of a very low quality compared to God's love for us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Compared to God's love for us. This is how precious our salvation is. So you go by what was paid for it. Amen. Amen. Not even what it means to you. You are supposed to use what was paid for it to let it develop meaning with you. To determine what it must mean to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. My wife recently gave me a gift. You know, and I didn't know what it was worth, but it was a gift, so she had just given it to me, and I took it and I put it somewhere, you know. Yeah, I just put it somewhere because I thought, you know, okay, it's a gift and I appreciate it. Not that I was ungrateful, but I thought that it's a gift and I thought it was nice, but I just put it down. Do you understand? Yeah. Then one day, soon after, I was having a conversation with her. And she was trying to explain to me the different types of that gift. You see, then it slipped out. She didn't mean to say it, but it slipped out. And she told me what it cost. When she told me what it cost, then I said to her, really? Then she said, yes, because there are types. So I looked at the thing again. Then I saw that, yeah, it's true. It's different from the one I know. Do you understand? When she told me the value, I looked at her. I said, you must like me very much. You must like me very much to buy me something like this. Do you understand? And from that day, I changed my whole attitude towards the thing. From that point, instantly, I went to fetch it and I started using it big time. Yes, proper respect. Do you understand? I'm saying that just because your salvation came to you free doesn't mean that salvation is worthless. The way you are treating your salvation is because it came to you free. But you are feeling like it's free because you are looking at the wrong place. You are looking at what it costs you to have it. But what you should look at is what it cost the one who gave it to you. What it cost him to give it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? When you look at it from that angle, you start to see that it is valuable. And that forces you to adjust your attitude towards that so-called free gift that you have. It is because we think of salvation as free that you see people don't respect it. You see many people who are saved, you know, almost regretting it. Yes. I heard about a lady who went to share her testimony in church. And she was sharing her testimony, and she was sharing it very excitedly and talking about all the things she used to do in the world, you know. And she was talking about how she used to, you know, roll around with so many different guys, and she would sleep in different hotels with different men. She would attend different parties. She used to drink a lot. She used to ride high in cars and so on. And she just kept talking and talking. Then she said, but, you know, then I got saved. Do you see? So it's like, it is like the bad thing that happened to her was the salvation. Yeah. Do you understand? It's like the bad thing that happened to her was that she's not as excited about her salvation as she was excited about sharing with people that life that she had before. What she should have been ashamed of, do you understand? And thankful for salvation, you know, and the redemption from that. She was rather excited about that. And many people are like that. They are not as excited about their salvation. They don't feel that something great has happened to them. And I'm saying that you don't feel that way. Your salvation has no value to you because you're looking in the wrong window. They have a saying that your point of view depends on your viewpoint. Do you understand? That you see things a certain way depending on where you are standing to look at them. So when you keep standing at the point of view of what it costs you, what it costs you, what it costs you, a simple invitation. Someone came to you, the person shared a little bit, you know, and then you say, okay, I'll say the sinner's prayer. How easy is that? After that, the person says you are saved. Oh, really? Is that all that salvation is? And so it's free. So because of that, you do not feel that God has done something great for you. But if you want to know what your salvation is worth, go check the price tag. Do you understand? Use the price tag to determine the value. And you see, I don't blame you because you don't understand, you know, the details of what your salvation has brought. Do you understand? If you don't understand it, see, one time another person gave me a gift. It was a gift of a pen. It was actually just a pen. Do you understand? And you see the way I'm saying it, just a pen, because it's just a pen. But if you know pens, you know, which I didn't know. I didn't know much about pens. Do you see? You start to know that there are actually pens, and then there are pens. Do you understand? Yeah. There are pens with, you know, lowercase letters, and then there are uppercase pens. Do you understand? Now, this person gave me one of these uppercase pens. I took it home, and I put it somewhere. I just, you know, dropped it somewhere. Now, another time, I happened to be traveling. I was in an airport. It was in Amsterdam, I think it was. And I was walking, you know, just waiting for my flight. And so I was casually browsing the shelves of some shop. Then I saw my pen. You know, the same pen. When I saw the pen, I got interested in, because I'm sure everybody would like to know the value of somebody's gift that they give to you. You secretly want to know, isn't it? Yeah. So I just, when I saw the pen, I just went straight to the pen and I looked at it. When I saw the price of the pen, when I saw the price, you know, I couldn't wait for the plane to take off because I knew I need to get to my pen quickly. I need to go find that pen quickly and change where I've put it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's because you don't know. Because you don't know the value of the pen. As it's been given to you, yes, you have received it. But you've just dropped it in the living room. You've just left it in the living room. You even went to bed and left it. You left it in the car because it was given to you. Do you understand? But the way you are treating it is not what determines its value. What determines its value is what was paid for it. Wow. If somebody is making a mistake, it's you. It's not the one who gave it to you. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. We are the ones who do not understand, Winnie, what it cost Christ for you to be saved. What it cost God for you to be saved. The Bible says he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Think about it. He says, whosoever believeth in him. You see, this verse, this one verse, is one of the verses we just rattle quickly. Do you see? And just, we will just spout it out and it just goes away. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Have you paused to think about why the Son was given for your salvation? He says, so that you will not perish. So that you will not perish. That means if you lose that salvation, the next big thing for you is the perishing. What the salvation was giving, what the salvation was given to prevent, is what will happen to you if you lose it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You see, if I gave you Reverend Francis's car so you don't have to walk home tonight, do you understand? Where's Angelo? Come here. You see, if I gave you Reverend Francis's car, this is how to give someone their car. Do you understand? Oh, you are looking forward to it. You are in line for him. There's nothing wrong with it. Pray that God will bless your pastor with a new car.
Amen.
And then when God gives him a new car, then you go and tell him, Pastor, I prayed. You tell him, my faith was not big enough to get the one he gave to you, but my faith was big enough to get the one you have. So if I give this key to Reverend Francis's car so that Angelo will not have to walk home, do you understand?
Yeah.
Then Angelo loses this key. So what do you think is going to happen to him? He's going to walk home. So if God gave his only begotten son to secure your salvation so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Do you understand?
Yes.
And you lose what the son gave you, then you will perish.
Wow.
But now, the other problem is, sit down. The other problem is, people don't understand what it means to perish. Do you understand? That is why we don't really care. If I perish, so what? Do you understand? But again, you see, you don't have to understand what it means to perish. You don't even have to understand it. You just have to be familiar with or to understand what was paid to prevent perishing. Does it make sense? Yeah. The price that was paid to prevent perishing is a clue to how serious perishing must be. Oh, you're still standing here. Have you changed your mind? If you are depending on this lady for your salvation, you will perish. Are you guys still with me tonight?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm sharing with you?
Yes.
Yes. That if you want to know how serious perishing, I mean, anything that is so important that it costs someone his only begotten son, even if I don't understand what it is, that thing must be very important. Do you understand? Yes. If I just came to you and I just said, listen, I just bought a lepsatomido. Do you know what a lepsatomidol is?
No.
You don't.
No.
So if I say I just bought a lepsatomidol and it cost me $1.5 million. Do you understand?
Yeah.
What is a lepsatomidol?
I don't know.
You don't know it. You don't know it, right?
No, I don't know.
But you have a feeling that it must be what?
Precious.
It must be precious. You don't even need to know what it is. It's just the price that you paid for it must make you respect for it. So if I dash you a lepsatomidol, would you like it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you don't even know what it is. But he'll love it, absolutely. He'll love it, absolutely. Just based on the price. Just based on the price. So why don't you love everlasting life and hate perishing just based on the price? Just based on the price. Just based on the price. That is why I don't like to waste time with people arguing about whether there is hell or there's no hell, or where is hell. You know, is hell on earth or wherever? I don't care where it is. I don't need to know where it is, honestly. I don't even need to know if it exists. I'm just happy with the price that was paid for me not to go to hell. Do you understand? And know that that price alone is enough. It's enough. It's enough to make me hate the idea of going to hell. And it's enough for me to embrace and love the idea of having everlasting life. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? So those of you who don't value your salvation, who don't value everlasting life, who don't value what Jesus has done for you, it is a reflection of your lack of understanding. It's a poor understanding and poor appreciation of the price that was paid that makes you toy with salvation. Do you understand? Yes. You would not spend money on something that you know is useless. Anything you spent money on, even if it turned out to be useless, at the time of purchase, you thought otherwise. Isn't it? It's true. If you would not spend money on you are clever enough not to spend money on something that is useless. You haven't created anything. You haven't created any stars. You haven't created any moon. You haven't created your world, you know, but you call yourself clever enough not to spend money on a useless thing. Do you understand? So if you are clever enough not to spend money on a useless thing, what about the one who is clever enough to create the sun, the stars, the moon, the earth, and so on? He must also have some intelligence. Don't you think so? He must also have some intelligence. As a matter of fact, people who don't want to acknowledge the creation story and people who don't want to say God is a creator, the alternative belief is in a concept called intelligent design. You understand? That is to say that maybe there's no creator, but there's some kind of intelligent, this world has been intelligently designed. You get it? Once you say design, you must think of a designer. Isn't it? Because you can't have a design without a designer. Do you understand? Yeah. So if the design is intelligent, then the designer must be intelligent. Do you understand? Yeah. And God is, if you are intelligent, you are clever enough not to spend money on a useless thing. You are clever enough not to release your daughter for them to break her pinky for people to have cars. They can walk. They should walk. Do you understand? Yes. If you are that clever, Jesus was telling some people, he said, you, if you, even being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, at least credit God with some intelligence. Credit God with some intelligence. That if not perishing was not a precious thing, God would not have given his only begotten son to secure it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If God gave his only begotten son for you to have salvation, then you better believe that salvation is precious. I said salvation is what? It's precious. Tell somebody your salvation is precious. Tell them your salvation is the most precious thing you have. Yes. If you can say genuinely that I'm saved. Do you understand? And I'm not just talking about saying it, because there's a process to be saved. Do you understand? Look at it. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's God's part. Do you understand? Then after that, he says that whosoever believeth in him, Do you understand? So between the giving of the Son, you see, and not perishing, there is a responsibility on everyone, isn't it? Which is, whosoever believeth in him. Do you understand? So if somebody is giving something, you also have to do something. When I gave those keys to Angelo, I was offering them. But that process is not complete. He does not immediately start walking in the benefits of having those keys just because I'm offering it. My offer of the key does not automatically confer enjoyment of the benefit straight on him. He has to receive the key I give to him. If he does not receive the key, it does not even matter that I offered it. He will still walk home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the reason why we don't just assume that we're going to heaven. We don't just assume that we're not going to perish. You don't just walk around and assume that you're a good person, that you are qualified for heaven. You don't just assume that because you were born into a Christian home, you must be a Christian. Christianity is not genetic. We don't inherit it from parents. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't inherit it from families. Every person must have their own encounter. Do you understand? Every person must have their own encounter. See, when I give those keys to Angelo, he may give you a ride. Do you understand? But you don't own it. Do you understand? You're riding in it. He gave you a ride, but you don't own it. And sometimes you can come from a Christian home. Your parents are giving you a ride in their Christianity, but you don't own it. You understand? Yeah, you don't own it. You don't have your own Christianity. Yeah. And therefore, when your parents are through with it, you understand? Just as when Angelo drops you off, you're going to start walking. You do what happens to anyone who has not received the gift that he has received. That is why he said, whosoever, anyone, because it is an individual thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is an individual thing. You have to make sure for you that you are saved. You have to make sure for you that you're holding on to your salvation. That you are holding on. You don't care what a brother or your sister or whoever does with their salvation. It's not about that. It's not a family thing. It is an individual thing. It is an individual thing. That's why he said that whosoever believeth in him, you know, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're going to benefit from the salvation that God has offered us, you need to hit the ball back. It's like playing tennis with someone. God has served, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. After that, you at the other end need to, whosoever believeth in him, then God will now, should not perish. Then you get everlasting life. That's the way it works. Yeah. That's the way it works. Do you get it? But when God stands there and he tosses the ball and then he serves it, for God so loved the world, and you keep standing there, that's where the game ends. And many of you don't have a game with God because since he served the ball, you have not hit it back. You have not hit it back. You have not done your part, which is whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you understanding your salvation? How many can see that your salvation is precious? How many are going to hold on to your salvation no matter what? Salvation is precious. Salvation is precious. We must not be saved and continue to walk around as though we were not saved. Are you getting it? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 we were reading yesterday. He said, you shall call his name Jesus. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. He said, he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, I was sharing with you yesterday how that if your sins were not a problem, there will be no need for someone to save you from it. We only save people from things that are dangerous to them, things that are harmful to them, things that are hurtful to them. Do you understand? Continuing to live within sin and not having experienced salvation is not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be because someone has been sent to save you from it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see these little kids, you see them walking freely towards the edge of a cliff. Do you understand? Just walking freely. But the mother of the child or any sensible adult around just runs and they save the child from falling over the cliff. Do you understand? That's something the child does not know. She does not even understand it. But someone who understands it reaches out and saves them from it. The child thinks, that's why they cry. Have you taken a dangerous thing out from the hands of a child and the child starts to cry? Yeah. They are screaming. And upset, yes. When they should have been thanking you. Are you getting it? When they should have been thanking you, they are screaming, they are throwing a tantrum, they threw themselves on the floor, you know, because you saved them from something that would have destroyed them. And you see, sometimes that's how we behave. You see us misbehaving because we got saved. Hallelujah. Tonight, God is saying to you, I saved you from your sins. It must mean something. That's why you must not go back to your sins. I said, that's why you must not go back to your sins. You must not go back to that same lifestyle. Some of us are saved, but we are still living just like we were living before. We are still living just like we were living before. Some of us are even saved. We're blessed to be saved. But because of our lack of understanding, you know, because we don't understand what has actually happened, you know, we have a craving for going back to what we have been saved from. You have a craving for going back to what you, such that the church becomes a problem for you. And your pastor and anybody that seems to help you or seems to sort of, you know, because sometimes, I'm talking about people who hold us accountable sometimes for the things we do, our lifestyle, our behavior, the places we went to, and so on. Such people become, they irritate us. Yeah. And they become our enemies. Yeah. Because we don't like, it's because you don't appreciate what you do. You are like that little child running to the edge of the cliff. And it's just running. And then somebody has come to save you from it. And you say, leave me, leave me, leave me. I want to destroy myself. But you don't know that's what you're saying. Because none of those kids say, leave me, I want to destroy myself. They don't scream because they're saying that they want to destroy themselves. It's they don't know what they have been saved from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But just understand the English. Just understand the English. That you have been saved from your sins means that your sins are not your friend. You've been saved from your sins means your sins are not worth pursuing. No matter how pleasurable they may appear or that they may feel. I told you that sin is entertaining. Do you know that? Do you know that sin is entertaining? Sin is nice. It's called the pleasures of sin. Sin gives pleasure. Do you understand? It's pleasurable to be living in sin. It's pleasurable to be telling lies. Especially tell a lie to get yourself out of some corner. You know, it's pleasurable. It's pleasurable to be sleeping with people you're not married to. It's nice, especially because you're not married to them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's pleasurable. It's pleasurable to be going out with people's husbands, people's wives, different kinds of things. It's pleasurable to be in your room at night and just to be looking on some internet page and some, you know, checking out, you know, big bottoms and medium bottoms and, you know, and small bottoms. Small, medium, and large. mediumbottoms.com. You know, smallbottoms.com. And then largebottoms.net. Largebottoms.net. See, and you're doing this thing at night and nobody knows it. But you don't know that what you're doing is doubling. You're going back to what you were saved from. If it was harmless, you wouldn't have been saved from it. If it was harmless, you wouldn't have been saved from it. And saved at what price? At the cost of someone's only begotten son. Then whatever you were saved from must be very harmful. It must be very harmful if it cost somebody's son to save you from something. So again, don't go by the experience. Go by the price. The price that was paid to prevent it. That is your surest clue to the value of what you're getting. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no need to live in sin anymore. Let's close with this verse, Romans chapter 6, and read from verse 13. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. It says, don't yield yourself. Your members means your body and your body parts. Do you understand? He says, don't yield yourself, you know, as instruments of unrighteousness. That means things, an instrument is a tool. Something we use to do something. Isn't it? Yeah. He says, don't yield yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness. Something that is used to do something that is not right. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So he said, use your life to do what is right unto God. Amen. Use your life to do something that is right unto God. Look at the next one, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you understand? For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. So sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you've been redeemed from it. There is no reason why you should go back to the same lifestyle. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So when someone says, well, I couldn't help it. I didn't want to, but I couldn't help it. No. The Bible says you can help it. Because sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, what is the next verse? He says, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Everybody say, God forbid. And the next verse, 16. Verse 16 says, Know ye not means, don't you know? Do you understand? Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What this verse is saying is that the choice is yours. He said you are the servant of whoever you choose to yield to. Then he gives the two masters. That is sin that leads to death, or obedience that leads to righteousness. And the choice is yours. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The choice is yours. It means you can choose not to do it anymore. You've struggled with it for a long time, but you can choose not to do it anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can choose not to do it anymore. Tell somebody, you can choose not to do it anymore. Yes. Do you see? Then verse 17. He says, but God be thanked that ye were. That means it in the past, isn't it? In the past. Thank God. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
He said, thank God. God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. You used to be, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So you used to be a servant of sin, but now you have obeyed what you were taught. Can I have an amen? And then the next verse, verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Hallelujah! Say, I'm a servant of righteousness. Say, I serve righteousness. I can do what is right. I can live righteously. I'm a servant of righteousness. And I will live righteously for God. Hallelujah. And the next verse, verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded, he said, the same way that you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. That means the same way that you have given yourself, you know, as a servant to sin and wrong living, you one bad thing after the other. That's what it means. From iniquity to iniquity. Even so now, your members, servants, even so now, yield your members, servants unto righteousness and holiness. Amen. You know what you need to do? What this verse is saying is you must tell yourself, whatever I did, you know, as an unbeliever to serve sin and to serve the devil, I'm going to do the same with the same strength, but this time for God. This time I'm going to do it for God. Amen. So if you used to go out till very late and come home tired, then there's nothing wrong with staying in church very late and going back home tired. Yeah. Listen, yes, if you used to go after one person after the other, do you understand? Person to person. You get it? Yeah. Some of you brothers used to go out person to person. See, when you go on the strip, there are people who just arrive. They just arrive on the strip. They have just come, they don't know anybody. They just have condoms in their pocket. Yeah. Is it right to say condoms in church? I'm sorry. It's something that's sold at pharmacy stores. They sell same place. They sell Benadryl and other things like that. Okay, so it's just Tylenol. So if you don't want to say condom, just say Tylenol. I'm telling you, there are people like that. They just arrive on the street. That is all. They just going canvassing person to person just to see who is going to work. That's it. Some even have a goal. Tonight I'm knocking three. Yeah, I'm knocking three. Yeah. And it's not just guys. It's also ladies. It's also ladies who are doing these kinds of things. The Bible is saying that the same way you used to go from iniquity to iniquity, one bad thing after the other, you can now change and do one good thing after the other. One good thing after the other. Yield your members. Use your members. Use your time. Use your money. Use your car. Use your energy. When your back seat used to be like a bed, now that same back seat can now carry people to church. Yeah. It can carry people to church. Yeah. Can carry people to church. No, it says there's no point. There is no need. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, tell somebody we're talking about now. It's not about the past. It's now. He said, yield yourself, your members, as servants unto righteousness and holiness. Agents of righteousness and holiness. You can help somebody come to church. You know that. You can decide to help someone come to church. The way you used to sweet talk people to go places with you, you can sweet talk them to come with you to serve the Lord. Yeah. You can. You can sweet talk people and say, let's go to the house of the Lord. We're not going to the club. This time we're going to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it says, yield your members as servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Is there a verse 20 quickly? Is there a verse 20? Romans 6. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Do you see? But now the next verse. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. He said, what did you get out of those things that you are now even embarrassed to talk about? Do you understand? He said, because the end of those things is death. Let me tell you, sin only has one wage. Yesterday we read it. The wages of sin is death. Every sin has death at the end. You think about it. Any sin can actually kill you. If you let it travel far enough, you will die from it. Think about it. Anything that you can think of that is a sin, if you let it run its natural course, if it's not interrupted by anything, it will eventually kill you. It will eventually destroy you. Just think about anything you think is wrong. It can eventually kill you. And he said, what fruit? What did you get from all those things that you can't even talk about now? For the end of those things is death. Then the next verse. But now, being made free from sin. Tell somebody, I'm free from sin, man. I'm free from sin. I'm glad to announce to you tonight that I'm free from sin. And I'm a servant of God. Hallelujah. He said, now that you have been made free from sin and you have become a servant to God, your fruit is holiness. Do you understand? Yes. You have now fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Hallelujah. Is there any more? Verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap for Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. It comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let me close tonight by saying that a good starting point is to make sure that this Jesus Christ is your Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. You know, read the whole passage backwards and you start from here.
Jesus Christ has to be your Lord. Then you're going to receive, you know, God's gift of eternal life. Then you're going to skip those wages of sin, which is death. And then you go on and on and on. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray with you tonight. And those of you who have not had that opportunity, I want to give you that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Remember, when I gave Angelo those keys, he had to receive them. He had to receive those keys in order to benefit from them. And then the second prayer we're going to pray tonight is for those who have been saved, but who have been struggling still with living in sin. It's almost like there's not much difference between you now and who you used to be, except that you added a little bit of church. But Jesus wants to do a bit more than that. Can I have an amen? So I want everybody to bow your heads as we're praying. We're closing in just a few minutes. I want everybody to close your eyes. This is a very private moment. It's a very private moment. And as we get ready to close, I want to give you that opportunity. The Bible says eternal life, salvation comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus has to be your Lord for salvation and eternal life to belong to you. And so if you're here tonight and you know in your heart, please, this is a very personal thing. This is not a group thing. This is not a household thing, but it's an individual thing. If you know in your heart tonight that you have not asked Jesus to be Lord over your life, it means that you have not yet benefited from the salvation that only He can bring into your life. And I want to give you that opportunity tonight, because tonight there is no reason why you should leave this place without salvation. There's no reason why you should leave this place without being saved. There is no reason tonight why you should leave this place the same as you came in, because God is offering you salvation tonight, and I want you to receive it. So while every eye is closed tonight, if you want God's salvation, just raise up your right hand so I can see it, and I'm going to pray for you. Just raise up your right hand tonight. You want to receive God's salvation. Just raise up your right hand. Say, I want this salvation. I want to be saved from my sins. I want to be saved from my sins. I want to be saved from my sins. Just raise up your right hand quietly, and I'm going to pray for you. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of, because we're talking about your life. It's just you as an individual tonight. It's just you as an individual tonight. You were born alone, and if you were to die, you are likely going to die alone. So we're talking about your salvation, and God is offering you that opportunity tonight. So just keep your hand up. Now, do one more thing. If your hand is up and you are serious, come and join me right here. Let's pray. Just walk up to me. Just come. If you're serious about it, just walk up to me right here. Come on. Just come. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just come and let's pray together. Just come and join me right here. I'd like to pray with you. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're going to pray this prayer, and after tonight, your life will never again be the same. Is there anyone else? You want to join them? You want to come and join them? Just come tonight and let's pray together. You want to accept the salvation that only Jesus brings? Let us pray together. Is there anybody else who wants to do this tonight? You want to say this prayer? Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember, Jesus is calling you tonight. Jesus is offering you salvation tonight. Jesus is offering to save you from your sins tonight. Just come and let us pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Now, those of you in front,
let's pray this prayer together, okay? I want to lead you in this prayer. Close your eyes, and I want you to say this prayer with all sincerity. I only want to lead you because I want to help you to say the right prayer or say the right things in your prayer. So let's say this together, and everybody can join us as we all say this prayer together. Say with me, everybody. Jess, can you stop the music, please? And let's pray together. Everybody, let's say this together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Everybody say with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That I'm a sinner.
That I'm a sinner.
I also believe that Christ died for my sins.
I also believe that Christ died for my sins.
That God sent his only begotten Son.
That God sent his only begotten Son.
That whosoever believes in him.
That whosoever believes in him.
Should not perish.
Should not perish.
But have everlasting life.
But have everlasting life.
Say, I am whosoever.
I am whosoever.
Say, I am whosoever.
I am whosoever.
My name is, and mention your name.
My name is Sylvia.
Say, I am whosoever.
I am whosoever.
And I believe in him.
And I believe in him.
So I receive Jesus.
So I receive Jesus.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
From my sins. And help me.
And help me.
To be a servant.
To be a servant.
Of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
And holiness.
And holiness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for these ones who have boldly step forward to receive you as their Lord, to receive the salvation that only you can bring. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them. Bless them with the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is now their Lord. Jesus is now their master. I pray, Lord, that you will help them to be established. Let them find their place in Jesus. Help them to be established in the house of God. Let them become servants of God, servants of righteousness, and servants of holiness. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, favor them. Let them begin to see a tangible change in their lives starting tonight. Let them begin to feel that newness that comes upon a person when they come to know Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse their hearts. Let the Holy Spirit remove the scars that sin has left in their lives. In the name of Jesus, let there be a freshness. Let there be a renewal. Let there be new life, new hope, and a new understanding of what to live for. Bless each of them, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your blessing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Now, before I sit down, I want to pray also for anybody here who is saying, Pastor, pray with me tonight. Because even though I am saved, I have been struggling with various different things which are not appropriate for someone who is saved to be engaged in. So pray for me. If you're here like that and you're really serious about it, it's only for serious people. If you're not serious, don't worry about it. But if you're serious about it and you want to be free tonight, remember that verse. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. Romans 6 and I think verse 14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. So if sin is having dominion over you, someone is stealing something from you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Someone who is not supposed to control you is controlling you. And tonight, I want to pray that you'll be set free from that in the name of Jesus. So if you're here like that, come to me very quickly and let's pray together. Just come and join me right now and let's pray together. Put that scripture on there. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Read the scripture with me, all of you. Just read that first part. Say, sin shall not have dominion over me. Just, all right? Say it again. Say, for sin shall not have dominion over me.
Come. Sin shall not have dominion over me.
Say it again. Say, for sin shall not have dominion over me.
For sin shall not have dominion over
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Say, I have been saved from my sins. I have power over my sins.
I have power over my sins.
For sin shall not have dominion over me. Now lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for all these ones here in the name of Jesus. Tonight I break the power of sin over their lives. In the name of Jesus. Joe, can you play the piano for me, please? In the name of Jesus, I break the power of sin tonight. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, in the name of Jesus, I set you free from it tonight. In Jesus' name, I lay hands on you to set you free. To set you free from every evil habit and every evil practice of unrighteousness. Because you are the master, not the servant to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't go back to your seats. Just stay right here. In the name of Jesus. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In the name of Jesus. You are set free. Set free from every sin and every evil practice. In the name of Jesus. Every sin that seeks to cut short your life, cut short your Christian life, and turn you into a servant of unrighteousness, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the power of sin in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the power of sin in your life. You are not a servant to sin. You are a servant of God and a servant of righteousness and holiness. In the name of Jesus. You're a servant of righteousness and holiness. In the name of Jesus. I cancel the power of sin. I break that power. I break that power. I break that power. Evil thoughts in the name of Jesus. Every kind of sin. Every form of unrighteousness in your life. In the name of Jesus. We terminate the power of sin in your life. In the name of Jesus. For sin shall not have dominion over you. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke that power of sin. In the name of Jesus. Unrighteousness. 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 I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it. In the name of Jesus. I set you free from that power of sin. Sin is a thief. A thief of your life. A thief of your victory. A thief of your life. A thief of the victory and the power that God has given you. But tonight you are set free in the name of Jesus. You are set free. You are set free tonight in the name of Jesus. You are set free. The power of obedience is being released into your life right now. You are being set free. From being disobedient to being obedient in the name of Jesus. God will give you grace. Receive that grace right now. Receive the grace to live like a child of God. To live like someone who is saved.
in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of sin over your life. You are set free tonight. In Jesus' name. You are set free tonight. In the name of Jesus. To live for God. And to live like a child of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Father, thank you for your strength. Thank you for supernatural strength that has come into her life to live for you. Now I release obedience. 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 Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I release obedience. I rebuke sin in Jesus' name. And I release obedience. Obedience. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke sin, Lord. And I release the grace for obedience to live righteously and to live the holy life. Because you are not under law, you are under grace. Grace is upon you tonight. Grace is upon you tonight. Grace is upon you tonight. You are not under the law. You are not under what you must obey in your flesh. You are under what the grace of God can accomplish in your life. The grace of God. The grace of God. Receive that grace to live righteously and to live a holy life for God in the name of Jesus. Receive that grace. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your strength and for your power that is imparted and released into your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may go back to your seats. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Finally, tonight, I want to pray for anyone who is sick. If you're sick in your body, I want you to rise up and come forward. Let's pray. The Bible says, see, one of the things that sin does is that sin gives the devil power over your body. Remember, it says the wages of sin is death. Sin just kills people, makes them die. But Jesus came so that you will have life. Jesus came so you can have life. Jesus does the opposite of what sin will seek to do. When sin is taking away life, Jesus is giving back life. So tonight, I want you to look up to Jesus for life. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. I want everybody just close your eyes. The rest of you in the congregation, just pray for them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I am the Lord, your King. Thank you, Lord. I am the Lord, the King of Kings. I am the Lord, your healer.
He is your healer tonight.
I am the Lord, your healer.
some of you are here tonight, your sickness is emotional. Some of you need God to heal you emotionally. You are so scarred emotionally, and God wants to heal you tonight. Some of you, your sickness is physical. It's something physical in your body. There's a pain somewhere. There's a symptom somewhere. There's a rash somewhere. There's a problem somewhere. Something is not working like it should. And then there's some whose problem is actually psychological. It's to do with the mind. The mind. God needs to heal you from insanity. Making wrong decisions, thinking wrongly, making wrong choices. God will heal you tonight, because Jesus is master of all sickness and diseases. Anything that puts you out of ease, Jesus is able to heal you tonight. The Bible says, if anybody is sick and they call for the elders of the church, let them pray for them, laying hands on them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So I'm going to pray for you tonight, and God will save you from that sickness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for healing in the name of Jesus. I rebuke this infirmity now in the name of Jesus. Go away right now in the name of Jesus. The sickness right now. In the name of Jesus.
be released, set free in Jesus' name. Every devil that wants to attack your life, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every devil, every darkness in your life, we command you to go away and to yield to the power of God. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Yield to the power of God.
Touched you, I want you to raise up your hand. Let me see. Those of you who came forward, if God has touched you, I want you to raise up your hand. If you feel like God has touched you, either you can see that the symptom is gone, or you can feel a change, something, I want you, something you can actually confirm, I want you to raise up your right hand. Let me see. All right. Those of you with your hand up, come forward. Come and tell us what happened. Come and tell us right now. Right? If God has touched you, you believe God has touched you and you can feel it right now. Don't worry if you cannot feel it right now. I believe God has touched you. But for those who can feel right now that God has touched you, I want you to come forward and come and testify. Come and tell us what the Lord did. Anybody else that feels that God has touched you tonight, you feel it, you can check, maybe there was a pain and the pain is not there anymore, or you used to have some type of symptom but it's not there anymore, I want you to come forward and come and testify. Right. My sister, what happened to you? What happened?
I actually came to church with a stomach burn because it's like I'm suffering from ulcer. Okay. So I woke up this morning with my stomach feeling very bad, like it was burning, and I couldn't eat good this morning. But
eat this morning.
Yeah, but when you was praying, I started sweating, like I started trembling, and I sat down. I just felt the cold breeze, just, and I'm not feeling the burn anymore. So
hallelujah! That is the touch of God.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
That is the touch of God. How can somebody just be sitting there and suddenly you feel?
Yeah.
Something is not a coincidence. God has healed you.
Amen.
So believe in it.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, thank you for touching her and for healing her awesomely in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, tell us what happened.
So before I came to church, I just suddenly started feeling like throwing up, like my stomach was in pain. So like 3 hours before, I just fell asleep. I just lay down because I wasn't really feeling well. And then I kind of didn't want to feel like going to church, but then something just told me, like, just go to church, something might happen. So I came. And then when I came, I just, like, laid in the back there because it started getting worse, and I just felt like throwing up. And then playing the instrument during the service, I also felt like throwing up. And then after you prayed, I just don't feel the pain anymore. And
you don't feel the pain anymore. You don't feel the pain anymore. Why don't you give Jesus a clap offering, everybody? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for healing him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the rest of you who came forward, the same God who healed them also had that same prayer and has healed you. Hallelujah. So you must go home believing. Check yourself. And when you have the testimony, call me. Amen. And tell me what the Lord has done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Let's pray. Once again, just stand to your feet and stretch forth your hand. Let's pray for your pastors. Let's pray for them. Just stretch forth your hand towards your pastors. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your healing. Yes. Thank you for a supernatural visitation. Thank you for touching their lives. Thank you for showing mercy, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoring. Thank you for replenishing and giving back what the enemy has sought to steal. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord. Makabolo moshataria karamasataria lababaya. Malindo romo sosikiri stobroni alumo shonde becando sataria la canaria la papaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive a visitation from God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Anoint, choose, and use. Bring me some oil, please. In the name of Jesus. Just give me the bottle. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, anoint. In the name of Jesus. Anoint, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Let there be a multiplication of grace and wisdom and humility and obedience in the name of Jesus. Lord, they will obey you, oh God. They will obey you, Lord. Yes. They will heed to your counsel, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give them understanding. Give them understanding. Bless the work of their hands. Bless them. Bless them. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Grace is being multiplied to you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Makaboru musatarabana. Yes. Satan is defeated. Yes. His hand is off you in the name of Jesus. Yes. Makatoria nama shataria. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you give Jesus a clap offering tonight for what he has done? Amen.